The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 21, verses from 20 to 26. Page 225 of the New Testament, Acts chapter 21, verses from 20 to 26. Allow me to read the words of God. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come, so do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the man and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end, and the offering would be made for each of them. Amen. Upon arriving at Jerusalem finally, Paul gave a testimony to Jacob and the elders in Jerusalem, each and every work of God, what he had done to Gentiles through Jesus Christ during his mission trip. Jacob and the elders listened to his testimony very carefully and gave glory to God for a while after his testimony. We have thought about giving glory to God during the past Sunday. They all then said to Paul in the verses 20 and 26, 21, when they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They've been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs." At the time in Jerusalem, there were tens of thousands of Jewish Christians who converted from the Judaism. Acts 20:16 testifies that Paul rushed to get to Jerusalem to arrive before the Pentecost. Therefore, the timing of today's text was by the day of Pentecost, and there were a lot of Christians among the Jews who came from all over for the holiday. By the time it was before the New Testament was finalized and was a transition period where the relation between the law of Old Testament and the gospel of New Testament was yet to be established. Therefore, even though the converted Jewish Christians received Jesus Christ as the Savior God, they still prioritize Jewish tradition according to the law. It was the same that our ancestors at the end of 19th century received the gospel, but still had hard time to get out of Confucianism, an ideology of winners, and instead decorated and washed their hair with some medicinal herb to celebrate the holiday while crunching nuts to prevent skin trouble for a year, sticking tightly with the tradition. During the three times of his mission trip, Paul mostly preached for the Gentiles. As the Gentiles were not Jewish, they didn't have to be circumcised based on the Jewish tradition. For Christians who were saved by the mercy of God, a mental circumcision to completely give their mind to God was more important than the physical circumcision. As was mentioned in the verse 25, the first council at Jerusalem, they resolved not to let Gentile Christians be under the law other than abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality. It was not Paul's arbitrary decision not to mandate Gentiles to get circumcised. However, in accordance with the Acts 16:3, Paul had Timothy, who was born from parents, Jewish mother and Gentile father, go through the circumcision. A Jewish mother makes her children to become Jewish regardless of the father. Therefore, he had to follow Jewish tradition to be circumcised based on the Jewish tradition so that Timothy would not become a roadblock for him to give sermon to the Jews. There are two sides in the law. First is about salvation. Jews believed that they should abide by the law to be saved. Which means that the law was the precondition of salvation in this case. But men were destined to be born with sins, and no one can perfectly keep the law only with their own might or will. Therefore, Paul firmly rejected the law as the precondition of salvation. For salvation, which is just given only by the grace of God, there shouldn't be any precondition at all. Laws were just good guidelines about living for Paul, who was already saved by the grace of God. The second was related to the Jewish tradition and customs. The source of the Jewish tradition and customs was the law. As a Jew, Paul also respected the tradition and customs which were passed down from the ancestors. The reason why Paul had Timothy, who was born from Jewish mother in the land of Gentiles, get circumcised was also to let Timothy keep the Jewish tradition and customs, since he will be preaching the gospel to the Jews. However, there was a rumor prevailing among the Jewish Christians who gathered in Jerusalem that Paul was a traitor against Moses, completely disregard traditions and customs of the Jew, and stop even Jews from being circumcised. The same false accusation spread by the Jews who were trying to kill Paul by making him a traitor was also spread to the Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians tended to accept the false accusation as truth. The Jews expressed antagonism to whoever betrayed Moses, the hero of Exodus and their best ever leader. Paul could have been put in trouble by the Jewish Christians who falsely knew that Paul betrayed Moses. In the verses 22 and 23, "What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you." Jacob and the elders in Jerusalem were aware of the rumor that Paul turned against Moses and suppressed Jewish customs. But unlike others, they didn't believe the rumor. This one fact shows how Jacob and elders in Jerusalem were faithful in the depth of the faith of Jewish Christians. People with mature faith believe someone who is trustworthy. They don't make a mistake by giving up trust on someone who should be trusted. Amid the harsh and false rumors about Paul, Jacob and the elders always trusted Paul. Not only that, they suggested detailed means to get out of the misunderstanding, telling him, "Do what we tell you." From verse 23 to 26, "So do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know there is no truth in these reports about you, but that yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality." At the time, in the Church of Jerusalem, there were four people who vowed to become Nazarites and offer themselves for a certain period of time, and it was about the end of the period. According to the Numbers 6:13 to 15, when the period of his separation is over, they needed to stay at the temple for 7 days to have purification and had to have their heads shaved on the eighth day. To do the purification rites, they had to present the offerings, which meant they needed money to go through all these processes. James and the elders of Jerusalem let Paul stay with the four men at the temple court and help them have their heads shaved and pay for them. By doing so, they did the misunderstanding of Christians about Paul being a traitor against Moses would go away. Paul followed what James and the elders of Jerusalem suggested. The Jews had their purification rites after visiting regions of Gentiles that they thought were unrighteousness. Paul, coming back from the regions of Gentiles, did the purification rite, helped the four Nazarites, and showed that he himself, as a Jew, also respected the tradition of Jews. Here, one question arises. Did the best leader of the first church, James, and the great apostle Paul, not compromised each other to forget about their faith and follow the law, worrying about what the Christian would say. In other words, was Paul not supposed to show more firm attitude about the law? How did Paul feel when entering Jerusalem? Upon the repeated forecast of the Holy Spirit that there will be prison and hardships waiting for Paul in Jerusalem, from Corinth of Europe to Jerusalem, how many people were there to stop him from going ahead? However, wasn't it Paul to be ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem and set off for Jerusalem? What would possibly make such Paul to give up his faithful conscience and compromise? If James and the elders would have requested Paul to accept the law was preconditioned to salvation in front of the Jewish Christians, Paul would have refused on his life. Facing salvation of the cross of Jesus Christ, anything can never become the precondition of salvation. Paul willingly accepted the proposal of James and the elders because that was related to the tradition and customs of the Jew. As a Jew, Paul respected the Jewish tradition and customs so that he could expand the range of his networks with Jews. This is not my thought, but the confession of Paul himself. In the 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself to slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. As such, Paul tried to win more people in the gospel, to communicate better in Christ, so became all things to all people. As Paul always fit himself to others to expand the dots of his network, he also became all things to all people. Such an attitude of Paul could remind us of water. The shape of water changes depending on the container, but it doesn't mean the nature changes. It is only the shape of water, not the nature. The life of Paul was like that. Paul also announced that he was under the law of Christ. The law of Christ that Paul mentioned didn't mean the law of Jews. That was the law of God to love each other. The following is a testimony of Paul. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't it true? Can you commit adultery with the wife or husband of your neighbors when you love your neighbors? If you love your neighbors, how could you murder them? If you love your neighbors, how could you think to steal things owned by them? If you love your neighbors, all laws become perfect in the love. This is the law of Christ that Paul mentioned, the law of love. As such, love and life is like water, and make yourself fit your partner rather than asking the partner to become like you. The soul of Paul was filled with love and life thanks to Christ. As a result, he lived as all things to all people. It was never a coincidence that Paul had many people wherever he went. However, you need to be careful. The shape of water can change depending on the container. It is the nature of water, but if the essence of life changed or spoiled, it could do a harm to a life who drinks the water, no matter how beautiful container that the water might be contained in. Paul, filled with life and love, lived as all things to all people. But his life shouldn't cause such result to harm someone's spirit. This is why Paul testified through Corinthians 8:13. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. In the land of Gentiles at the time, meat of livestock sacrificed to the temple of other gods was sold at the market. Idols at the temple of other gods were nothing more than a sculpture made of stone or iron for Paul. So there was no reason that he was not able to eat meat. However, among the Jewish Christians who have weak faith, quite a few people believed that eating sacrifice of idols is sinful, as they still thought that idols existed. If the great Apostle Paul eats the sacrifice, they would misunderstand that even if you have faith in Jesus, you're still allowed to commit a sin, which probably would cause them to fall. So, Paul announced that he will never eat meat again, so that he will not cause any of them to fall. Paul lived as all things to all people because he wanted to expand his networking span to win as many people as possible. He announced he will not eat meat because he wanted to keep the faith of people having connection with him firmly. Right here, we can understand the two different characters that mature Christians should have. If the openness of mind wanting to live as all things to all people is one, and the other is the self-discipline to firmly keep the faith of people. To keep the faith of people or keep them not to fall, he controlled himself for them, not for him. One young man asked me a question. He said he, in the mid-30s, had never drunk liquors. But today, it is not a strange thing that Christians drink, and some Christians feel uncomfortable when seeing those who do not drink alcohol. And he asked that living in such a society, is the teaching of the church not to drink alcohol still effective? And what meaning does it have if Christians do not drink? First of all, I thanked him for keeping such belief until now when he is in the 30s, and said it is still effective and important that Christians do not drink alcohol. Isn't the culture of drinking one of social problems in our society that needs an urgent remedy? How many families are there falling because of alcohol? Are most crimes committed during nighttime not related to drinking? Among developed nations, would there be any country which takes granted a binge drinking like Korea? Under these circumstances, if my drinking causes someone else to think that drinking alcohol as a Christian is okay and cause him to fall, it would evidently be a criminal act harming the spiritual life of that person. Instead, like Paul, it would be the right attitude as Christians not to cause people to fall as you don't drink alcohol. I've received legal gifts several times, mostly from those who came home from foreign countries. They might think that I drink some wine, I gave them to the guests who visited my home if they had any reason or purpose. That way, I even heard that there is a rumor that I give out wines that I like to those who visited my house. Like I mentioned in the New Believers class, I was called by God on August 2nd, 1984 at 2 p.m. And until now, I've never drunk, even though I lived in Switzerland for 3 years where wine became a staple. Those who gave me an allowance to go on a binge drinking until I became in the mid-30s were actually the pastors and elders at some church. When pastors and elders were drinking with me, would there be any reason for a young man in the 20s to refrain from drinking? If I hadn't met them, it would have been earlier for me to stop drinking, so I wouldn't have spent my life at the time in vain. If I drink even a sip of whatever alcohol, would someone who had conflicting thoughts about drinking not get the allowance to drink without any qualms? At dinners, I do not let people refrain from drinking even if I don't. Sometimes I even pour the drinks to expand the dots of connection with those who sat around with me at the time at the table. But I never drink, no matter how, so as to keep the faith of those who were there with me. As Paul said, I will never drink so that I will not cause them to fall. The power of church comes from only holiness, not from the size of the building or amount of offerings. The country these days has countless big churches, and those churches boss the number of members, but the church is no more able to change the world because the life of Christian is not that different from that of others. Think about it. How can Christians who are supposed to be the light and salt do, eat, own, drink, and have everything they want from a holy church that is different from the world and renew the world? The gospel preached by Paul, risking his own life, was able to renew the Roman Empire, not because the Christians at the time had power and money, but because they accomplished the church holy and different from the world. Dear sisters and brothers, if we can be together, have grace together, and love together only among us, was there any justification to set up one more church 11 years ago when there already were numerous churches everywhere? Should the church which serves the Lord as the owner not take the historical mission of this tumultuous time? The second mission, mandated by the 100th Anniversary Memorial Foundation, which established our church, was to be a trailblazer for the future of Korean church. Let's not forget this. That mission can only be taken with open attitude to embrace everyone and the holiness of self-control, not to let anyone to fall. Let us have an attitude open to everyone, living as all things to all people, to get even a person in the gospel. Meanwhile, not to have anyone to fall, and to keep the faith of everyone we meet. Let us have the holiness of self-control in God. Even if we are underqualified and weak, Almighty God, whose arms are long enough, will lift us so that we can pave the road to where Korean church and our society will go in the future. Let us pray. This time, I look back on my life. My mind, as narrow as the holes of needles, was the roadblock that prevented people from getting closer to God. My life, which failed to be self-controlled, was the trap that made many to fall. Because of me, churches on this land lost their holiness, and the sounds all became clanging cymbal. I repent this, and please forgive me. Now help us to live like Paul in the Lord, in the gospel. Get me have an open attitude so that I can live as all things to all people. Make everyone not to fall. Firmly keep the faith. And pursue a holy life of self-control every day in the Lord, so that may our life be the pride of God. Use us to renew the history of Korean church and the people through us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.